This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, whoa. I am going to talk now to an author who I've been wanting to talk to him for a long time, and I don't know why I didn't, but I'm going to do it today, and it's Michael Enderley. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Okay, did I pronounce your name correctly? It's Enderley?
Yes. Well, close. Enderley.
Enderley. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I didn't know. You know, sometimes I admire an author for so many years, and, you know, I'm just not sure. Because, you know, I come from northern Michigan, and it was funny. I was raised without... We didn't have a lot of books around us. We didn't have a lot of intellectual people around us. But I was reading at a very young age, and it was several years before I realized that you don't say Camus for Camus. So anyway, Enderley. Okay. Well, why don't you just add that extra E at the end so we don't go doing Frenchifying this thing? What the heck? Anyway, it's so much fun to talk to you. You know, one of the reasons I want to talk to you, and this is very funny, I wanted to talk to you, you know, of course we're going to be talking about your whole badass witch business and all the series, and I don't know, there's so much going around with you, but Michael Enderley, I wanted to talk to you because you are the only one I have seen who actually didn't follow directions or whatever the normal standards are, and on your bio on Amazon, you switch from the third person to the first person, and I admire that. I thought, I like this guy. I just like that. I really did.
You're a rebel, aren't you?
Yeah, I thought, yeah, that gave me, I can't tell you. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, I have been on the air for over 6 years. I've talked to over 500 authors. So, you know, I've seen all their bio stuff on. And when I saw that, I got such a kick out of it. I thought, this guy is somebody very special.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I think in general, your books are very special. And your writing is, of course, we'll let you talk all about it, but I just wanted to mention to my audience, his writing is so good, it's so excellent, and it's so, well, it's smart. And I'm not sure which, I think I have almost all of your books on my bookshelves, because I, you know, before I started this program, I was even buying books all the time, and I had over 6,000. I don't have that many now, but because I gave a lot away. The paperbacks, I never give away a hardback. But in one of your books, I think it's book one of the badass ones. Anyway, in one paragraph or two paragraphs, you use the following words: abysmal, Philistines, disparaged. ethereal, vivacious. I thought, I like this guy. He knows how to use words.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should mention that, because a lot of times they recommend for authors to use more simple language.
Yeah, like dumb it down. Oh, my, we have to dumb it down. We don't want to increase their vocabulary. We don't want to force any readers to have to actually look up a word. Although, you know, when they're reading it on Kindle, they can just touch it and get the... Yeah, that's why I like you. I just like you. I thought, you're my kind of person.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate that. It's interesting because certainly when studying writing, you know, you come across the things you do recognize. I mean, James Patterson is a very intelligent individual, but if you look at his books and you take them apart, you know, there's a certain grade level that his writing will have, and it's
third grade?
Interpretation of sentence structure. Man,
well, my third grade, when I was in third grade, that would have been too...
True.
True. Because I was reading Camus when I was nine. So if I could read Camus when I was nine, you can imagine what I was reading when I was in third grade.
Yes. Yeah, that... Yeah, challenging for you, I'm sure, to acquire the right books to do that. But, I mean, just in general, though, if I would use it in my normal conversation, I would type it in a book. I didn't try to simplify it. It is what it is. I find that the people around me talk a certain way, whether I'm writing urban fantasy or science fiction, and so long as the verbiage comes out in a normal conversation, then I don't have, you know, any constraint.
Well, you obviously are associating with very literate people. I don't know. I deal with, you know, a lot of people who are highly educated, but they don't use this vocabulary. I mean, that's why I get such a kick out of your writing, because it is so, you don't dumb it down. You have respect, and that's what I think the great writers do, like... Dorothy Sayers, you know, she didn't dumb anything down. She put it in Latin, for goodness sakes, and said, get over it, you know, if you don't know it, figure it out.
Yeah, I think that I like how you phrased that, which is respect. I respect that the individuals that I'm trying to write to will, you know, enjoy the story that's being written or being told, and it can go all ways. You know, I'm known for Carthian Gambit and a lot of creative cursing I did in that, and I received a lot of grief. But in the reviews for that, you had those that were in the military going, you know, get over it. We curse in the military. That's what we do. And I've had the same attitude. It doesn't matter if it's going to be someone who, in the case of the Badass Witch, she's a college graduate, a very intelligent woman. You don't think that she's going to be using such words? I think she is. And so I feel like it's the same argument. It's like she's a college graduate.
Yeah, she knows what the word abysmal means. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my dear. well, that's why I think your writing is so good. And, of course, the Badass Witches, the whole series. You know, it's always funny when you say somebody's getting better and better, but you're always getting better.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, the Badass series itself is nine stories told over three trilogies. So you start off with the Badass Witch, and she becomes a badass vigilante, and finally a badass detective. And so, there's a lot of things where she has to mature, you know, through her growth of what she's doing. And there are some things that are in there that are outside, I guess, the normal bounds of the story. Like, you expect there to be growth, either friendship growth, but she goes through some hard things, including whenever, you know, based on the fact of her having this talent, this ability to wield magic, she ends up having to make a decision whether or not she wipes the memory of her boyfriend, choosing to do so, and then having to deal with the repercussions of doing that. And now his mistrust of her when he learns that what she did, it's like, what is it? If I do something you don't like, are you going to wipe my memory again? And so, you know, that for me, that emotional connection is hard to deal with at times. But it's a reality of what she had to go through to grow through all of the processes.
Exactly. Well, tell us about Kira. Tell us how you developed her. And then, as you said, over nine books now, we've gotten to know her very well and appreciate her.
To me, what I wanted to do is, a lot of times when I write stories, I prefer to start with the characters. And the relationship that I wanted to play with in this particular series was one where you had a person who was from the East Coast, and she grew up in money. But when it came time to go to college, though, she went to the West Coast. She wanted to be far away from a somewhat controlling mom as she could. And so we start the series off way back in the beginning where she's, you know, sleeping in. She's graduated college. She's basically has a bar job, and her mom calls her. And you get that blue blood experience where mom's like, "And what are you doing? And what about this date? And what about this guy?" And she's having to go through, you can almost see her rolling her eyes as she's having to answer her mom going, "You know, how do I get you off the phone? I love you dearly, but I don't want to do this." And so we take her through that process where mom is pushing, which, and let's be honest, there are a lot of times in our lives where we wouldn't be where we are in life without our parents pushing us in ways we didn't wish them to. But so in her case, she's finally like, you know, her mom's like, you why didn't you go into computers? You did it for computers. Like, I hate computers. That's where my degree is, but I hate it. And I feel the same way at times where I went into college and I went into classes where I'm like, you know what? I don't like this. So I wanted to delve into that. And in doing so, she's, you know, just kind of snap at her mom. She's like, you know what? I might decide to buy a bar. And then I'm going to be owner of bars. And how are you going to like that if I do that? And mom, of course, is just, So she buys a few books, but one of them catches her attention. And it is one called How to Be a Badass Witch. And do you remember that? I mean, you have to remember these books that we had. I don't know how Idiot's Guide to Being a Plumber, and you know,
yeah,
How to Be a CPA in 24 Hours, those type of books. And that's where the premise came from. It was the titles of those books, and I was like, well, how much fun would it be if there were books called How to Be a Badass? And so that was the genesis of these stories, was those titles from back in the time. And so, like any of us, you know, I've purchased a couple of those books thinking, sure, I'd like to be a XYZ in 24 hours. That would be fantastic. She gets it and then finds out that it's actually real. There are people who can produce magic. And so that starts her down this path of learning, and it, you know, infuses all of her life and gets her into a bunch of power politics that are not only national with the United States, but international with other empowered beings and the situations that arise. And so with her, she's learning how to make sure that she takes care of the other waitresses. And they're, you know, the first series talks about a bunch of kind of like a local gang that wants to blackmail a bunch of different restaurants and things. And so we live her life. And some of those lives is where she's encountering the Kims, which is a small family that has a store. And one of the ladies, the mom is dying of cancer. And there are issues with the medical establishment that she can't get what she needs until after when she's supposed to pass away. And so she tries to use her power in order to try to help the mom. And yet, you know, it goes too far. And so she suffers the repercussions of doing that. And so that's really kind of where it's at. It has as much to do about the fantastic as it does the family.
Exactly. And I think that's why, because of the depth of it, that you talk on and write about relevant subjects and how she approaches them. And it's just, she is just such a great creation. And I love the idea, because I bought one of those how-to books, How to Be a Locksmith, because I wanted to learn how to... I wanted to learn how to be able to open doors.
I did too. It's like James Bond.
Yeah, it was fun. I never got very good at it, but I understand the principle. And, you know, I thought it might be an extra job someday. You never know. As a matter of fact, I was just about, just when this whole pandemic-y mess happened, I was going to get a how to be a bartender and maybe just go out and just for fun to be a bartender, to pick up stories from people. But then now, of course, that's not a great profession. You have to sit there looking at people in masks. But
you have such an effervescent personality that you're just bubbly all of the time. So, you know, obviously, you get a lot of energy from meeting new people.
Oh, I do. I do. And I get a lot of energy from being behind the microphone and being able to talk to people that I admire. It's just so much fun when I find an author who's writing, as I said, because right away, I mean, I just love this use of words, because really, oh, I can't tell you how many people are dumbing it down. And as you said, very famous authors are dumbing it down, and it makes me so. I like something new. I like some new words. I always feel that I've gained something if I learn a new word from a book, and so that's why I just admire somebody intelligent like you, and I knew that I would like you. And speaking of new words, let's talk about thaumaturgy. Thaumaturgy, is that how you? Mm-hmm. Is that how we're pronouncing it?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, it's not like that word comes up in normal conversation.
No, not too often. Explain that word, because I think it's a cool word.
The idea behind thaumaturgy and the issues is, you know, as I've published and through the publishing company put out many, many books, there are certain issues that fans will not read, regardless of what they'll answer to you in the middle of the day. For example, there's one series that talks about demons, and I don't care how easygoing a person is, that'll cut your sales 30%. And so when doing this particular series with, you know, quote-unquote witchcraft, which has a very negative connotation, I was like, you know, that's not what I really want to embrace. What I'm trying to embrace is that there is a system of power that is available, and it was branded witchcraft, but the answer is truly thaumaturgy, which is more the power of miracles. And so I went seeking that different reasons or a different way to call it something, even though the vernacular is witchcraft. It's truly the ability to do miracles and the energy that's capable of making that happen.
Well, it's a beautiful word. I just love looking at it on the page. I thought, oh, I like that word. Well, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a trilogy of trilogies, nine books, a nice number. What's next? Is there going to be a fourth trilogy?
Not at the moment. I believe that, you know, the whole badass concept, you know, I'd like to take it to badass druid, other types of interesting characters. But, you know, there's so many different things that I like to play in. The publishing company now has 1,200 different stories in the last 6 years, and you'll find my stories in anything from vigilante to science fiction to urban fantasy, sword and sorcery fantasy, and I like, just, you know, I'm widely read, which I presume you are, with 6,000 stories. Like, for instance, what are some of your favorite genres? What do you bounce around to?
Well, when I'm not reading Napoleon, I have like 250 Napoleon books now. Nowadays, of course, I am so really blessed that I get all these wonderful authors from, and what I like is, for me, recently in the past few years, really sort of branching out into different areas. A lot of actually African American and Black history subjects are right there on top for me because they are so relevant. And I have a wide range. You know, I've been reading, I started reading at the age of three, like Beatrix Potter. She was reading at three. And by the time I was five, I was reading Perry Mason, my mother's paperback Perry Mason books. So you can see that I've...
Love them.
I read a lot, and I've been reading a lot. And so it's just so exciting to find somebody, an author like you, who is really, you know, out there. Boy, you produce so much, and it's all so great. And of course, this series, you're known for, you know, quite a few different things that you do, but I think this series is one that, you know, people really hone in on. And of course, I'm sure my listeners will ask, because they've been asking lately, because they're sort of desperate with this streaming video that they can't find anything to watch. So they'll probably be asking me, is this going to be in streaming video?
No, not at the moment. I mean, there are some agents who have contacted us for different stories that we have, but none for this yet, although it is agented. So there's the opportunity to put that out. Let me ask you, I'm sorry, I have got to ask the question related to Napoleon since you brought him up. What would you say are three facts about Napoleon that most people don't know about?
That he was very sensitive. You know, when I look back at him and I think about him, and I do a lot, he was sensitive to people's feelings. He was kind and very thoughtful. He could be so thoughtful, and not at all like he's portrayed in the movies, and not at all like some mad militarist. There was a part of him that was so gentle and so kind, and he would he remembered his past. He remembered his childhood. And I just have admired him so long because I lived in Europe for quite a while, so I had the opportunity to travel really to all of the battlefields and understand him perhaps as a military person. My husband was in the military, so that was a way to get my husband to travel. All I had to say is, we're going to go to a week. If I want to go to see something because it was in a book, he wouldn't have probably, been interested. But I said, there's a battlefield. So we crisscrossed Europe like crazy. All I had to say was, there's a battlefield here, there's a battlefield there. And we happened to have a white Cadillac. So we spent our time going back and forth over battlefields. And it was amazing. And certainly no movie has ever done any justice to Napoleon. And just like no other than the young Winston Churchill movie, they never really bring out Winston Churchill. And I've just wanted so much over the years to, do a sort of a definitive film about Napoleon, the man, the good man, and not the man, who just wants to conquer, because that's not what he wanted. He really did want to do so much for the common man because he remembered his roots. It's been a sort of a love affair for the past 30 years with him traveling around Europe, but I can't do it anymore. It's crazy. I can't believe it. So
one of the things that you mentioned on the streaming, that was video. Audio is actually available.
So oh, I know.
Any of the listeners?
Oh, I wanted to mention audio. That. The audiobooks are really great to listen to. I love the audiobooks.
Thank you. Yeah. Love the fact that it's being done and being brought out and all of those things. For me, audiobooks are something that I can do when I'm, basically doing the things that I want to do, whether it's the kitchen or the weeds or, whatever the case is.
Exactly. And the what's the last one? I don't remember the narrator. Unbelievably good. Capturing the whole tenor of the book. She's fantastic. Really great.
Yeah, the narrator is Holly Adams.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
So, brought up by Tantor Media Audio, one of the biggest audio companies out there, and they're just some great partners with us on a lot of my stories. So really appreciate them bringing out these books.
Well, I think they are wonderful books, and I'm just so happy that you were able to join me today on Joy on Paper. Michael Anderle, and what's your website? Where can people find you?
You can catch me at the letters LMBPN, which it stands for London, Madrid, Barcelona, Paris, and New York.com.
Oh.
You can find us. You can certainly find me on most of the or access to one of my accounts on most of the social media, just on author Michael Anderle or Michael Anderle. And looking forward to seeing everybody and all the wonderful readers on the other side.
Oh, I have a minute. Tell us about your website's initials again. Mention them.
Sure, absolutely. LMBPN, which is the publishing company. The short answer behind that, or short story behind that, is I was helping my wife about 10 years ago, and she is a very high-level ranking officer or marketing person in the company, and she needed more business to consumer experience, where she had a lot of business to business experience. And so I built it based on her love of fashion. So at the time, the letter stood for the top five fashion capitals of the world. We modified just one of them, and they became some of the top five publishing companies of the world. So that's the story behind the letters of the company's name. And we've been in business around 5.5 years. That's where I put all of my books. And you can find pretty much anything you want to read up there.
Okay. Well, I will put that on my website and the explanation, and tell people to get your books. They can read all 9 of them. And although they're standalone, it's 2, you can read them standalone. But they are just wonderful books. And I'm just really so grateful that you were on Joy on Paper today. And just keep writing like this and using nice words that people can actually, their minds can expand with just by reading your books.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a fantastic morning, and I appreciate being on the show.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Michael. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, he's nice. He is nice. I like him. Oh, what? Why? Please, writers, get with the... Stop this dumbing down. I am getting so crazy with it. It is really quite true. There are some authors today who are writing really best-selling books, but they're at sixth grade level. So those of us who want to encourage reading, you will find, actually, if you write like this, if you write, be intelligent and respect your readers, because there are a lot of readers out there who really appreciate it, and they grow with you. If you start using words in your books, as they read your books, they learn and they feel better. Anyway, talking about a great writer, I have a book buzz for you, and she knows how to use language too.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Ghost Blows a Kiss, a Bailey Ruth ghost novel, number 10, by New York Times bestselling grandmaster of mystery, Carolyn Hart. Here's the buzz. The late as in dearly departed Bailey Ruth Rayburn is delighted when she's assigned a new mission by Heaven's Department of Good Intentions, even if she is no good at following the rules for earthly visitations. This time, she's determined to be the perfect unseen emissary, no matter what it takes. Arriving late in the evening in her old hometown of Adelaide, Oklahoma, to find a woman drowning in a pond, Bailey Ruth carries out a daring rescue with textbook invisible effort. But Bailey Ruth soon realizes there's more to Fran's accident than a late night walk gone wrong. The young widow was running away, but what from? Soon, Bailey Ruth finds herself caught up in a complex web of family secrets, loyalties, and lies. And if she doesn't act fast, an innocent will be locked up for a very long time. Like a warm hug from a loved one, Ghost Blows a Kiss is the perfect escapist read for cozy mystery fans. Whether you're old friends with the lively, always entertaining Bailey Ruth, or have yet to make her acquaintance, Grandmaster of Mystery, Carolyn Hart, is the New York Times best-selling author of over 60 novels of mystery and suspense. Her books have won numerous prizes, including Agatha's and Anthony's. She has been personally honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award for Malice Domestic and the Ridley Pearson Award for significant contributions to the mystery field. She is also one of the founding members of Sisters in Crime. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, and this is a real thrill for me because, this is a subject that I love, mystery clubs, and I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Maggie McGuire. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, well, this is fantastic. I love mysteries, and I love kids, and what a wonderful combination. You have to tell us all about the A to Z Mysteries, the Clue Club, and I love your name, too. I have to say, Maggie McGuire, I don't suppose you speak with an Irish accent, huh?
I don't, but yes, I do have an Irish lineage, so name compliment quite a bit. Thank you.
It does. It's a beautiful name. And I don't know. Have you been to Ireland?
I have. I studied in Ireland, actually, at the Irish Theatre of London in Dublin.
Well, then I bet you could speak with a little bit of an Irish accent if you wanted to.
I could now if I really wanted to.
Yeah. Well, because I love it. That's my favorite accent, and it's always fun when I get to speak to somebody with an Irish accent. But that's okay, because we are going to talk about a subject that, as I said, I mysteries. That's for me. Mysteries and histories. That's where I get my biggest thrills. So let's talk about this. What is the A to Z Mysteries Clue Club?
Yeah, so A to Z Mysteries Clue Club is a podcast for kids based on the best-selling book series by Ron Roy called A to Z Mysteries. It sold over 10 million copies in print, and Kenna, the company that I represent, is the first and only audio streaming service for kids that brings podcasts, audiobooks, and music into one safe space for kids. And as we noodled on what podcasts to produce for kids, we have a ton of insights and research, and I'm a former teacher also, and I also am a mom of young kids, so we know that the mystery genre is a super popular genre, especially as kids sort of turn into their 7, 8, 9-year-old selves and start to figure things out and like to problem solve and puzzle. So we turned to Ron Roy and said, hey, we would love to adapt your characters, your settings, and your brand, A to Z Mysteries, into a new podcast for kids that does something a little bit different. In the podcast, A to Z Mysteries, Ruth, Rose, Dink, and Josh, who are the sleuths of the book series, actually invite listeners to join them to become a club, the sleuths, as they solve mysteries about Green Lawn. So they literally break the fourth wall. We know how intimate audio is for kids. They break the fourth wall throughout every episode and say, hey, listeners, do you think that there's a clue here to help us solve the mystery? And kids, literally, we watch kids all the time responding to our podcast, listening to our podcast. We do kid testing. Literally, they're shouting out the answers. You really believe they're part of this club with the characters, and they're talking to the characters out loud as though they're in the very same room, really helping them figure out what's happening in Green Lawn, whether it's the burglar thief or there's a concert catastrophe or there's a diner disaster in town. Our listeners are as actively engaged in solving the mystery as our characters are.
Well, it's so exciting. And, you know, of course, for me, when I started reading at a young age, Nancy Drew, yes, I was a detective. I needed to be out there detecting things. And so this is exactly what I think captivates kids and keeps their minds active. And I just love it.
Oh, thank you so much. I love that you just referenced Nancy Drew. I was a huge Nancy Drew reader. Still am a huge fan. Hardy Boys, Encyclopedia Brown. So, yeah, I mean, we know mysteries are a super popular genre. I think, you know, what's so exciting, I mentioned that we do kid testing at Tenna. So for every podcast we create for kids, we have a hypothesis. We want to activate kids in a new or different way through our audio programming. And when it came to A to Z Mysteries, we were really like, well, as a reader, if you were reading a mystery, what do you love most about it? The internal puzzling that goes on as, you know, you're turning every page. And we were like, how can we turn that into something that's even more intimate and personal with our listeners, right? It was fascinating to watch kids literally listening to the show. And once they were invited to join in, it became, you know, you're kind of like suspending disbelief. It's very theatrical in many ways. You're suspending disbelief. They literally are part of this bigger world. They might be sitting in their bedroom or in their living room or in the car, but when it comes to the Clue Club, they know that there's a whole world of other kids listening and trying to follow along with them. And it created this like real understanding that kids can take that leap beyond the literal and feel like they're part of a bigger community.
Well, you certainly came out with this at the right time because there are so many kids now at home. This is now your third year, correct?
Well, so Pinna, our audio streaming service, is in its third year. And simultaneously, we just dropped season 3 of A to Z Mysteries Clue Club in the Pinna app. And you can tune in, you know, episode 1 just launched last week. And in Tea Time Trouble, the Clue Club sniffs out suspects to find the tougher perpetrator at the Shangri-La Hotel. And I don't know who done it, so I'm not giving anything away. But if you haven't listened to the podcast yet, there are 2 seasons already out. So there's 21 original stories you can dive into right now. And we're rolling out 1 new episode a week in season 3. So there's 9 more to come.
So explain to people how they can hear this. What do they have to do? Because some parents might not know about how to even do this.
Yeah, so A to Z Mysteries Clue Club podcast can be found on the Pinna app streaming service. You can go to www.pinna.fm and log in to start listening, or you can download the app from the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, or the Amazon App Store and listen on your smartphone or iPad.
And so you can listen to it and at whatever time you want. You know, it's streaming, right? So
exactly. So at any time, day or night, 24/7, Monday through Sunday, you can open up your Pinna app and select any number of podcasts, audiobooks, or music. But this week, we're really encouraging kids to dive right into the A to Z Mysteries Clue Club because season 3 has some real surprises in store.
Well, I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing for kids because the whole point of it is to get kids to be interested in reading and also to just help them develop sort of the mental acuity of thinking about how to solve problems.
Absolutely. I love that you bring that up. Pinna, you know, believes there's more time in a kid's day for imagination. And we know that the audio medium is a wonderful medium for activating kids' imaginations. They're bringing all the visuals to the table themselves, right? As the stories unfold, they're developing their sense of what these characters look like and what the settings look like. They're problem solving along with the characters in any given episode. And it's an opportunity to break from screens. You know, we're a solution for families looking for alternatives to screen-based media. So we like to say that when you're listening, your head is up, your hands are free, you could be cooking, you could be going on a walk, you could be building Legos while you listen. You might be on a car ride and co-listening with your family as you listen to Pinna podcasts. So lots of opportunity to sort of activate your brain in a new and different way.
Well, I was a homeschool mom for 20 years, and I wish I had Pinna back then because I was actually a walking, talking Pinna myself. I had to do it all myself.
I love it.
So that's not what I'm going to think of myself as in those years, because that's exactly what I did. I would do, I taught my boys so much primarily through mysteries and through treasure hunts, because I started them off very young, and if they wanted something, they had to find the clue. So and it would always, as I said, because I also love history, it would usually involve history. So if they wanted, for example, if they wanted a cookie and they needed to, if those happened to be 1941 cookies, they had to know that World War II started, you know, this is how I did it. And of course, I was like a talking book constantly with them. And we studied. We spent most of our time actually in the park. We would just take everything and head to the park. And
I love it.
And so now with this wonderful, wonderful, modern thing, podcast, that you can just sit there with the kids and under the trees, in the fresh air, without masks, and just listen to the podcast, I think it is just such a service that you are doing for people.
Oh, thank you so much. We're really excited that we can provide opportunities for kids to really stretch their minds in new and different ways and to be on the go, right? You can listen at home or on the go, as you mentioned. You can be out in the park, you can be on a walk, you can be on a run.
Or in the car, because, you know, I used to spend a great deal of my time taking them from one tutor to another, from violin lessons to karate lessons to piano lessons, and we spent so much time in the car. And again, I was like a talking pinna, always talking, telling them something. And so this is wonderful. I think it's really great.
Oh, thank you so much. I love the message of empowerment, you know, giving kids, putting into kids' hands the figuring it out. It's very empowering. Strategies you shared, that you used in homeschooling, very similar to the kinds of thinking we want kids to do when they're listening to our programming.
Exactly. Well, of course, tell us a little bit about Ron Roy. Tell us a little bit about him. I know he couldn't join us today, which is a shame because I really admire his work. But tell us so everybody knows a little bit about him.
Yeah, so Ron Roy is a best-selling children's book author. He's been writing stories that include Ruth Rose Dink and Josh for over 25 years. He wrote the original series that the podcast is based on, A to Z Mysteries. There was a spinoff, Calendar Mysteries, then Capital Mysteries. And what I love, John was sharing with me recently, you know, for him it was really exciting to see A to Z Mysteries move into a new domain podcast, because the voices of these characters and all of the details of how they look and how they sound and what they have been in Ron's head. Right? It's a very personal, as author and writer of these children in this world, it's never stepped out of print. So that, you know, it was a little bit of a leap of faith that Ron took in Tina as a partner to do that with him, but he's been an absolute joy to collaborate with, and it was a very exciting process for him to bring these characters to life in audio for the first time. He was part of the casting process. We have an awesome cast who voiced the entire town of Green Lawn along with our lead characters. And Ron is inspired, he shared with us, he is inspired by some of the things that we did that we brought as new elements to A to Z Mysteries. He's thinking about, how do I do that in my newer stories for kids? How might I break the fourth wall? How do I think about sort of the guessing game components of solving mysteries as I write my additional stories? So it was a hugely collaborative process. The team at Random House Children's Books was an amazing team to work with to bring the podcast to life as well. And we're just thrilled that we've got the fan base who's gobbling it up.
Well, you know, everyone can go to the website, which is pinna.fm, and there is so much information there, both for educators and for parents, and a whole collection there of the epic collection of classic and reimagined fairy tales. There is so much on that website that I really want to suggest to everybody. If you'd have a kid in your life, go to that website, pinna.fm, and the resources are tremendous.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate your enthusiasm.
Well, you know, when you're a homeschool mom, and you're always mentally... I learned something, or I send my son a text, you know, did you know... I can't stop teaching. I can't stop teaching. You know, that's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I should share with you that you mentioned to your audience that there's a trove of resources at Pinna.fm, in addition to our huge library of podcasts, audiobooks, and songs for kids. If you check out our educator destination on Pinna.fm, you'll find that we have created teacher guides, lesson plans, and activities that are paired with every Pinna original podcast and give teachers ideas on how to use podcasts in the classroom, mapped to standards. So we're super excited about the opportunity to step into the classroom and have teachers using our service and our podcast as teaching tools.
Well, I think you've done a wonderful, wonderful the entire idea of getting out there and reaching more kids is fantastic. And Maggie McGuire, I love your name. I think you're, and I'm also get very enthusiastic from your enthusiasm because we both love reading. And as you said, you with Like Me, Nancy Drew played a big part in our lives.
Oh, gosh. And I don't know if I shared this with you, but I was a teacher myself, so we both share that love of inspiring kids, you as a homeschool mom and myself as a classroom teacher. So lots of similarities. It was a real pleasure to be here with you today and share a little bit more about what we're up to at Pinna.
Well, again, thank you so much for being on the program today. Say a special hello to Ron. I hope maybe one day he would have time to come on and we can talk, because I admire his work. It's, as you said, it's over 25 years, and he's just so talented and really an amazing human being.
Oh, he is, and I will send him your message.
Okay, well, again, everybody, go to the website. It's pinna.fm, and you will find an amazing resource there for kids, and just help kids read, help kids grow, and that's a wonderful thing to do. Bye-bye now, Maggie.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow. Oh, I didn't have that one. When I taught my boys, I didn't have that. I did it all myself. Oh, my goodness. One of the things, and this is funny, because talking to Michael Anderle, my whole plan with when I was being a homeschool mom, I had not planned to be a homeschool mom, but I had to be a homeschool mom because I started, I didn't know not to teach them to read since I was reading at such a young age. It didn't work out for me, in some ways. I should have been homeschooled, but my mom, of course, in those days, you wouldn't have done it. Nobody would have done it because it was ridiculous, actually. Well, by the time I got to third grade, I'd already read all the books going up to eighth grade. So it was really difficult for me in some ways. But my father told me one thing. You know, I was in third grade, and I had this terrible teacher. Really terrible. And of course, I think part of it was that she knew I had already read not only the third grade books and the fourth grade books and the fifth grade. I had read up to the eighth grade by the time I was in third grade. And she just could not get her hands around that. And also, I mean, I was doing algebra in third grade. So she didn't like me. And she made me sit on my left hand because I'm left-handed. And she thought this would slow me down. If I had to sit on my left hand and do my writing with my right hand and my math, you know, I actually write letters very well with my right hand now because of her, although it only lasted 3 months until my father discovered it. But I could never write. It's funny. I could not write numbers with my right hand, and I still can't. I was practicing a few months ago. I said, there must be a reason I can't write numbers, but I think it's psychological. I was so upset at this teacher. I really Well, I hated her, to tell you the truth. So a third grade teacher has a great impact on a kid. And it was 3 months into the year, September, October, beginning of November, not even 3 months, my father suddenly realized there was something wrong with me because my initial enthusiasm for going to school was definitely over. And I kept trying to figure out ways to get out of going to school, including, and he was very kind. He used to take me to baseball games during the day. And to Teamsters meetings. And then he discovered that she was making me sit on my left hand. And he walked into the class. He walked me to school one day holding my hand. And we walked into the classroom. And he said to her, he simply looked at her. He said, "Patsy is left-handed." And that was my dad. My dad was a man of few words. And that's it. And he let my hand go, and I went to my seat, and she looked at him, and my dad was like a tall, handsome guy, and she looked at him, and she didn't say a word. And after that, I wrote with my left hand, and I read Perry Mason. I read Perry Mason paperbacks, and she never said a word after that, and all because my dad took me one day, and that's all he said. Patsy is left-handed. What a guy he was. Oh, an amazing person. And of course, he continued taking me out of class all that entire third grade. He would take me to afternoon baseball games, because in those days, the Tigers played in the afternoons many times, or to Teamsters meetings where I would be with Jimmy Hoffa. So I had lots of fun. Actually, third grade turned out to be pretty good because I didn't spend a lot of time in the classroom. And what I did spend, I spent reading Perry Mason probably I was into Nancy Drew at that point. Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. So, you know, life is interesting. But again, I really want you to read, if you want to read great books, read Michael Enderle. You know, they are just smart. I just love smart writing, and they're fantasies, but they're fun and they're just delightful. Anyway, my goodness, the time has gone so quickly. And well, what can I say? I just want to say, one of the things that I always tell you is to that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. And oh my goodness, on Thursday, Rita Moreau is going to be here in the studio because she has a new series, and this is so exciting. And so she's going to be talking about her new book, Murder on Honky Tonk Row, and her wonderful characters, Mabel and Irma. Wow, I'm so excited that Rita's going to be here in the studio, because we call her One Take Rita here at the studio because she does the book buzzes. And then everybody, meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him, because I should have been a general. I would have been a great general. Oh, I would have loved to be a general. And then I would have a general's pension. Wouldn't that be nice? You never know. Anyway, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.